Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
Tuesday edition of Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack. With me is Dan the Man. If you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com, where the blogs go up over there on Wednesdays and Saturdays. So look for something popping up there sometime tomorrow morning. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, go ahead and hit that link, follow it over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like that while you're over there, well, hey, we'd greatly appreciate that. But don't forget, we also have the Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Now, Dan and I are on Twitter as well. I am at BurkTime, and Dan the Man is at?
Dan the Man with three E's.
So Dan, they did it to me again, and I just can't figure it out. I don't know how to deal with it anymore. I'm, of course, watching baseball highlights, and the Angels highlights come up. So what do they talk about? Pretty much nothing but the Shohei Ohtani home run. And what a great feat it was that he hit a home run. And they even showed a stat of pitchers with the most home runs in their careers. And just as they were about to put the box score up with the final score, they finally mentioned that Mike Trout left the game in the first inning with a sprained calf. Dan, I kind of think they buried the lead there, didn't they?
Yeah, well, and that was their guy.
Oh, you really faded out. What happened to you?
I was trying to put my headphone on. Mike Trout was their guy, too. And they just dropped him, you know. Forgot about him.
So, yeah, you know, I guess he left the game in, like, the first inning. They're doing tests on it today, so obviously he'll be out of the lineup until they get the results. And, yeah, they just buried the entire thing, because they are just so enamored with this guy who doesn't play defense and pitches and then DHs, and now is, of course, going to be skipped in his next start because he can't make regular starts like major league pitchers do. But that doesn't matter because he's a phenom. You know, obviously, Dan, you know the next step, don't you, is him as MVP.
Oh, yeah. Well, and the Cy Young, right?
Yeah. You know, even though he'll probably make 15 starts. And, you know, the odd thing is, while, you know, he does lead Major League Baseball in home runs, but he's only one ahead of three other guys, so it's not like he's running away with the home run title. And no, I think he is. Let me double check to make sure I get the number right. He is tied for third in RBIs. But that all being said and done, he's hitting a whopping 263 compared to some of these other guys. And not only that, my big question becomes, what the hell has he done to help the Angels win? You know, they're actually 18-22 and already 6 games behind the A's in the AL West. And there were a lot of people convinced that they would be a playoff team. So why are they so freaking enamored with this guy?
Because he pitches and hits.
Ooh, yeah,
you know,
and,
but you know, and you know, you mentioned how they bring up the comparison between pitcher, you know, other pitchers and all time or however they want to do it, but it's not a fair comparison. He's a standalone player.
Yeah. Well, and of course, the exception to that is while he does have a decent amount of home runs, I don't see him catching the greatest one of all time, which of course would be considered Babe Ruth, who has 714. So.
Yeah, no, I don't see that happening either. But, you know, that's just part of it. It's, you really can't compare him to that many other players because we don't have that many that have done what he does.
Yeah.
You know, if the universal DH was in place and let's just say Madison Bumgarner or Zach Greinke took DH days, but I don't think they'd be on a schedule like he is. So it's just not really a comparison against anybody. And again, you know, kind of just jumping on a bandwagon with the lead story for their clickbait, with a team that, I mean, it's just May, but like you said, they're not sitting pretty at the top like they should be.
No. And, you know, you look at his starts, and while his, you know, he's 1-0 with a 2.10 ERA, so that's really good. He's at 5 starts where every other quality major league pitcher has made 8. And he's also only pitched 25 2/3 innings, so he's barely giving them over 5 innings a start. So, again, I don't get the excitement because he puts a monstrous strain on their bullpen because he's only given them 5 innings and they got to cover 4 of them, which is probably why he's only 1-0. My guess is they've probably lost his 4 other starts. But yet we're going to jump all up and down and hail this guy like he's the greatest thing we've ever seen. And then we're going to skip a story on the best player in the game being injured when, you know, I mean, you're looking at a guy on a team that's already sunk. You know, they're going to get even deeper if he's got to miss a significant amount of time.
Well, and Big Jack, I think you're forgetting to emphasize the fact that the greatest player in the game, especially according to those not talking about him. You know, the same people who have been shoving him down our throat for the last almost 10 years are the same ones now who've just set sail on a new ship. Oh, we got a better Angel.
Yeah, well, you know, and the funny thing is, you know, Trout is leading baseball in OPS, and that's one of the fantastic sabermetric stats that everybody loves, and nobody brought him up. You know, he's having a really good year. He's hitting .333. He's got 8 bombs. So, you know, I mean, there's nothing wrong with the way he's been playing, but, you know, you wouldn't know it. Because when's the last time you heard anybody say anything about him when it comes to the Angels? So,
you don't anymore.
You know, and you know, in case you're wondering, Ohtani's OPS is a respectable 925, but with the way baseball goes, that 925 puts him down like at 18th or 20th. So he goes way down the list. When you're looking at the sabermetric numbers that, again, everybody loves. So, yeah, did we forget Mike Trout for the Angels, and we're only going to talk about the Angels and Shohei Ohtani now? It doesn't matter what else they do?
Pretty much.
So, yeah, I mean, it's literally one of the stupidest things I deal with every time he hits a home, anytime he does anything. You know, he ran really fast to first base a while back, and everybody talked about that. Is he the fastest player in baseball? Well, no, not by a long shot. He's left-handed. He's already got a foot that way. But you know, he's not outrunning probably the majority of guys, you know, in baseball. I mean, you look at some of the other outfielders, he's not a guy like Ronald Acuna. He's probably not even beating Mike Trout. But yet he did it, and that was exciting. So we talked about, oh, great. Why are we talking about this? You know, why are you wasting time when you could be showing me highlights of something important? That you're going to talk about, oh, look at how fast this guy ran to first base. I don't care. How many fans care?
The football fans, because they love to hear about guys running those meters. I can't even.
How fast did he run with 40? Yeah, there you go. So, but yeah, it's just, you know, it gets stupider and stupider to me. The more I hear about it, it's just like, yeah, okay, great. He's hitting home runs. I'm very happy for him. So is everybody else, morons.
Yeah, but not Jack Peterson and Jorge Soler. Sorry, they're on my
They're obviously guys are, you know, not everybody is, but everybody is.
Yeah, but specifically them because they're on my home run league team. And
that's a pretty good one. You know, now that Jose Abreu isn't playing against the Twins, you're going to fall back to the pack and everybody's going to pass you. You'll be in last place by next week. Oh, so.
Yeah, but I won't cry on about it and cancel half my team.
I will. I'm just going to last place, so I'm going to cry about it. So, because I can't hit a home run in my life.
You can change your name to This League Sucks.
I'm going to change my name to I'm going to cry about it. That's what I'm going to change my name to. But, yeah, well, you know, in a little more enjoyable news, Dan, Albert Pujols made his Dodger debut last night, went 1-for-4, and drove in a run. So not a bad start. Not, you know, obviously enough for anybody to report about it because, well, he didn't hit a home run or pitch. But, yeah, you know, I mean, it was a big run because I think they won 3-1. So it was important to, for them to pick up that extra kind of insurance. So, hey, you know, not a bad start for them, right?
No, not at all. And I was trying to pull it up real quick. What prompted him to be playing first base last night?
It's the National League, so they don't have much choice. He's got up to first base, or he doesn't play unless it's an early game.
Yeah, no, I thought he was going to be a late inning or, a guy who comes in later.
They had said that he would play against left-handed pitching, so I believe, did Madden play last night? I don't know off the top of my head. So that may have been the reason why he and he is in the lineup again tonight, and Max Muncy is playing second base. So all they did was bump Muncy over. They're giving Justin Turner a night off as Chris Taylor will play third base tonight. So
yeah.
And Yoshi Tsugu will make his Dodger debut in left field.
Yay. Madison Bumgarner took the mound last night, who, 4-3, 4.15, 4.15 ERA. So it's 54 strikeouts, 47 in a two-thirds innings pitch so far, but it just seems like, and the no-hitter, complete game shutout. Obviously, it's a no-hitter. But it just seems like, for whatever reason, be it San Francisco's issues, do you think he'll be able to recapture those double-digit numbers he was hitting during that World Series run time period?
I don't think so. Unfortunately, I kind of have the feeling that those days are kind of behind him. While he still is a quality pitcher, I don't believe that he's really at the top of the game where he used to be. You know, and I mean, obviously, when you look at it, he pitched a very good game for them last night. I don't believe he gave up all three of the runs. I think the other one was, let me double check here. Yeah, what's odd is, like, he was only in for four innings, and he did give up a couple mm-hmm. runs. He struggled with walk four, but he struck out five. So you wonder if maybe the pitch count went up and they decided to pull him. But, you know, with the way Walker Buehler was rolling, I mean, Buehler went seven innings and only gave up one hit. He did walk four as well, but he struck out seven. So when you don't have that kind of offensive support, there's not a whole lot you can do about it. And, you know, while I don't have anything against Arizona, they're not a very good hitting team. I mean, when you kind of look at their lineup, there's nobody that's going to frighten you. While, yes, David Peralta is a very good hitter, and Pavin Smith looks like a guy who could develop, really the focus of their lineup is Eduardo Escobar. And do you consider him a top guy in baseball? I mean, top what, 50, 100? Where does he fall in? So,
yeah, and, you know, I took a quick dive into Madison's contract situation. And, you know, obviously I don't think with the Giants it was going to work out. His last contract with them between 2013 and 19 was a five-year, $35 million contract, which – interestingly, we wonder what that would have been if, you know, he was that age and it was in 2019, because he did receive, you know, for Arizona, 5 years at $85 million, kind of getting paid on the back end, you know, or on the back end for what he's already done. But, you know, if his stats continue to kind of dip at 31 years old, this year, you know, 32 next year and so on, do you think it'll be possible for Arizona to even trade him, or are they going to have to write it out? Because they did defer $15 million, $5 million for 3 years off of this year, next year, and 23. So he'll still be getting paid in 25, 26, and 27 from the Diamondbacks. You know, not much considering. So that does take some money off of two of those contracts, you know, especially this year, next year, and the following in 23, because they are pretty, you know, they're higher in the 20s. And then it drops down to $14 million in his last year. So, like you said, you know, Arizona doesn't have this scary team when it comes to offense. And while they've had their runs over the last few years, let's just go with the last 5 years, they've had some runs where, oh, are they for real? But you and I kind of sat back and, you know, always mentioned that this is what the Diamondbacks do. They get a nice run. They chase for first place somewhere in, you know, mid-summer. And then, you know, come August, you're not even talking about the Diamondbacks anymore. So it'll be interesting to see how the rest of his time plays out. What are your thoughts? Do you think they'll be looking to try to move him in that 23 season?
You know, I think a lot of it is going to kind of depend on just where they are, you know, at that point. Because obviously, you know, they're in probably the best division in baseball with the Dodgers, the Padres, and then the way the Giants have been a great surprise. So, you know, I don't believe they're really close to catching any of those teams. So, you know, if the right offer comes along, or maybe, you know, the right team that's willing to pick up that money, you know, it's possible we may see him get moved. You know, so it will be, you know, it definitely will be, you know, an interesting thing to follow as they go along. And, you know, a guy with this much talent going to learn how to become that crafty veteran pitcher.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, obviously we've seen signs of it. He had the seven inning no hitter, which in all honesty, I think should be credited as a no hitter to him, because it wasn't his fault that the game only went seven innings. That was Rob Manfred. So, you know, just one of those things. But yeah, I definitely think it is a real possibility. You know, just depending on how it goes. And I know, you know, Arizona was dealt another blow because it looks like Luke Weaver is headed to the 10-day DL. You know, and he's one of their younger starting pitchers that has been pretty good for them this season. So, you know, it's just, you know, and a lot of it is, you know, how the luck works out. And, you know, we've seen a ton of injuries for, you know, pretty much a ton of players. As you know, I saw the guy posted in our fantasy league that he's got 9 guys on the IL. So.
Yeah, and speaking of that, one of the new guys on his IL was the guy he put on the trading block, who I just traded for in the other league, Didi Gregorius.
Oh. Didi went on the IL? I didn't see that.
I think it went today. It's retrospective back to the 14th. So.
Oh, okay. He may only be on a few days then.
Yeah, so I hope Moustakas gets put to the IL
hey.
Soon. But you brought up the standings, and it is pretty interesting. You know, when you talk about the NL West, the Giants are sitting at the top with Padres right behind them and the Dodgers in third, all within 2 games of each other, obviously the Dodgers being that far out. But you've got to imagine with the way this season's going, Arizona 7.5 and Colorado 10.5 games back, that we're not going to see much movement on those 2 teams, and we're just going to watch, you know, California battle it out for the NL West. You know, again, it's just May, and of course these are just predictions, so I still think that it's going to be very close with those 3 teams. It'll be interesting to see if one of them will get 1 or possibly 2 of the wild card spots, but you can kind of say that for all 3 right now. With the Central, I mean, St. Louis, like usual, sitting up top. The Cubs, you know, is right in the middle with the Reds, only 3 games back, so you don't have a whole lot of room for St. Louis to make any mistakes because they could lose that first spot. But I think, I don't know if you agree with this one, even though Pittsburgh's 5.5 games out, interdivision play, unless they can beat up on their interdivision teams, I don't think they're going to move much, especially now that Colin Moran, who, you know, somewhat of a infield utility player, was kind of like a highlight, or maybe that's just because he's on my fantasy team, but he seemed to have been making headlines like every day when he was playing. And then you go over to the East, Big Jack, and this one kind of surprises me the most. I did not expect to see Washington still sitting at the bottom. But, you know, you're looking at the Mets at 19-16 at the top with Washington only 16-21, 4 games out. So, I don't know. I think it's still open to, you know, kind of switch things around. But I just can't imagine Miami holding it that 4th spot, to be honest with you. Coming back, well, I guess we'll go back. I'm maybe slightly surprised at Boston sitting at the top, but, you know, not totally. You've got to wonder if Toronto is going to hold on to that 2nd-place spot. And, you know, with the Yankees 2.5 games out, it looks a lot worse than it is. But, you know, again, something else can just – a nice win streak can turn it all around for any one of these teams in this division. I think I'm going to go over real quick and head to the AL West. Like you were mentioning, the Angels are sitting down there 6 games out of 1st place. You know, six or 8 weeks were into the season. So with all the publicity they get, you would expect them to be at least in 1st place battling for 2nd. But Oakland and Houston keep pulling it together. And I'd love to hear your thoughts on, you know, if you think Seattle's going to become above 500 or finish the season above 500 and maybe keep the Angels down there. You know, and is it possible that Texas can beat up on them too? But coming back, just the last division, obviously, AL Central, you know, I kind of felt that this was a weaker division coming into this season. Definitely with Detroit and Minnesota playing the way they are, I think it still is. And, you know, Kansas City's in 3rd, but they're by far 7 games out, which is pretty much where every last place team is right now, obviously except for Detroit and Minnesota. So you've got to imagine this Kansas City might float and hang around in the middle spot there. But I don't know, Big Jack. I think the White Sox can take this division even with the two injuries they have. And, you know, and then, of course, once they get Chris Bryant, that division's theirs, right?
Yeah, you know, I mean, there are, you know, so many questions when it comes to each division, you know, like, what's wrong with the Twins? You know, they're 13-26 and 11.5 out already. I believe they're farther out than any other team in baseball. And
yeah,
they were a lot of people picked to win the AL Central. And for whatever reason, they're just struggling, scuffling, whatever word you want to use for it. They can't put it together.
No, and would they need like a Dodgers 27-3 month or something to turn it around?
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, obviously the plus side is it's only May. So, yeah, if they could kind of string it together, and like when you mentioned with Pittsburgh, you know, interleague play is going to be the key. If you can win your interleague games, obviously you can gain, you know, two games at a time or a game and a half at a time by beating the teams in your division. So that'll have to be the kind of technique they'll have to use. So we'll see how that goes. And then, you know, you mentioned Seattle. And, you know, I guess if their young players can start to play well, they could stay around 500, but I don't expect that. You know, Logan Gilbert was probably below average in his first start. So, we'll see how much longer he stays up or if they end up sending him back down. I would like to think Jared Kelnick is here to stay. So I assume the Angels will eventually go past them in the standings. But, you know, when you get over to the AL East, I mean, Boston's still hanging on at the top. And then, you know, the first four teams are all just 2.5 games apart. So who gets top and wins that, or who plays that out, and how does that work? And, I mean, you damn well know that when it comes to the time, the Yankees will make that big ad. But will, you know, and we know Tampa Bay won't. I don't think Toronto will, because they're not giving up any of their young guys. And Boston doesn't really have the ammunition to do that. So, with, you know, how does that division looks like it's going to be fun to watch and see how it plays out.
Yeah, and, you know, you mentioned all the young guys that Toronto doesn't have to give up or doesn't want to give up. You know, and I don't mean to make the comparison, but do you think it's going to be like a Cubs situation for them, whether or not they make a run for, you know, an AL championship or even the World Series? But with the fact that they have, you know, all the juniors play, all that came up around the same time, you know, almost successively, like the Cubs, you know, we've seen with Bryant, Rizzo, Hop, Schwarber, you know, we've seen all these guys come up at once, and now the Cubs are in a situation where, you know, well, and Javi too, where everyone's coming up at once and most likely going to be gone, you know, because you didn't stagger stuff out.
Yeah, you know, in their case, I mean, we'll have to wait and see, you know, are they going to be willing to spend money? You know, are they going to try to sign these guys early? So, you don't know. You know, we'll have to see how it goes. You know, that's always going to be the key question. And, you know, and don't forget, I mean, we're talking about a team that is hanging around basically without George Springer, who was the big, you know, acquisition this offseason in free agency. So, will you know, will they get better when he comes back?
That was a rhetorical question, right?
Well, I think I saw he played four games. So,
yeah, I don't,
you know, and I mean, you can point to the thing with the Padres right now, Tatis. You know, how much do they improve when he gets back into the lineup?
Yeah. As long as he hits home runs, he improves my home run team. But, you know, and you mentioned our fantasy league, or I did, we both did. The one guy with nine guys on the IL, and who do you think another one of those guys is? Tatis on his team. He must have had like the 18-19 pick. Bastard.
Yeah, I think he ended up with Tatis and Springer. And he's got them both on the IL. So.
Yeah. Because I think that's the snake league that guy's in, and I just feel like he's got such a good, you know, team of players that he probably had one of those 18-19 spots. Or one and two, whatever. It's just been very interesting to see how the stats are playing out or the standings are right now. And you've got to wonder, too, with a lot of the Midwest to East Coast teams, if the temperature change will help out. You know, hopefully, you know, here we've had, what, maybe, I don't know, total of 7-8 days that with 80-degree weather, you know, what we would say baseball weather. And we're coming up on Memorial Day pretty soon, which I got tickets to a Cubs game, Big Jack. You know, we're coming up on Memorial Day weekend pretty soon, and the weather should be turning. Do you think we'll see a difference in some of the Midwest East Coast teams, Central East Coast teams?
Well, you know, they always say when the weather gets warmer, the offensives come around. So, you know, we'll see, you know, and you'd like to think, you know, that'll help some teams because there are some, you know, quite a few teams that are kind of scuffling offensively. You know, again, hopefully it works out. Right? At least I hope it is. So, you know, we'll kind of, you know, kind of have to see how, you know, see how it goes and see who it helps. But, you know, it's making for, you know, or it should make for interesting baseball. And, you know, I am surprised to see the Mets kind of hanging on there in the East with, you know, now DeGrom is also on the IL. I guess Noah Syndergaard started his throwing program, so that means he's not far away from coming back. You know, they could be a really big shock if you get a healthy DeGrom and a healthy Syndergaard at the top of that rotation. Yeah, you that's a team you'd have to look out for. So, you know, I don't know how, you know, how else to put it. So, you know, what do you think of the Mets there?
Well, you know, now that they added Cameron Maben, for some cash to the Cubs,
yeah,
they're going to go straight to the top. You know, it's just another one of those unfortunate situations, I think, for the Mets. They, you know, they've had that pitching rotation that just, on paper, every year should dominate the hell out of not only the NL East, but Major League Baseball. And unfortunately, they just completely peaked in 2015. You know, they were able to knock off the Cubs, but at the end of the day, you know, no one really talks about the runner-up. So, who was the 2015? Was that that was the Royals year.
The Royals.
So,
yeah, they went back to back.
So, you know, I mean, again, like I said, it was, you know, their biggest claim to fame since 86 is the fact that they knocked the Cubs out in 2015.
Yeah.
You know, and it's unfortunate, especially because from that 2015 on, you know, they've had one of the top rotations in Major League Baseball. When you put them on paper next to anybody, you're like, oh, I really don't, you know, 4-for-4, we can't match up. But, you know, the injuries just keep piling on. And correct me if I'm wrong, is Matt Harvey still in baseball? Because I saw
Matt
Harvey.
Yeah, he pitches for the
He's
on goal.
Yeah, I wasn't sure if there's a new Matt Harvey.
So, yeah. Yeah, because, you know, and I mean, you mentioned, you know, stuff piling up on the Mets, and it did. You know, if you didn't see it last night, Kevin Pillar got hit in the face. Luckily, he's okay. So he's gonna miss quite a bit of time. Michael Conforto and Jeff McNeil went on the IL. Obviously, Pillar will be placed on the IL. He probably already has one. So, you know, but that kind of perpetuated the trade for Cameron Maben. So now you can go out and pick him up in both our fantasy leagues. So that'll work out for you at least. So, you know, you'll have to, you know, you have to tell me how that works out. But, you know, and I think Albert Almora is still on the IL from when he collided with the wall. So, you know, it's a little rough there. You know, they're just another one of the teams. You lump them in with the Yankees and the Dodgers and the Padres and the Brewers, who did get Christian Yelich back tonight. He's back in the lineup, you know, with a boatload of injuries. So, and for whatever reason, we seem to be getting a lot of players hurt. You know, and I don't know why that is. You know, you would think now, Dan, with all this modern medicine and everything, that we wouldn't see these guys get hurt as much, but it seems like we're getting more. Or is it just that they can diagnose more now, so we're getting injuries that they didn't know about?
I think they can diagnose more. Technology, you're not allowed to use it to enhance the rehabilitation period.
Oh, yeah, because it just seems like guys are getting getting hurt right. You know, it seems like every day and day and night. You know. You know, we're getting a new one here. So yeah, well, you know, we'll just have to kind of see who gets back and who gets healthy and who can figure out what's going on. I think that really will kind of decide things, don't you? I mean, the healthiest team down the stretch will probably win some of these divisions and grab playoff spots.
Oh yeah, that's going to work.
But yeah, so you know, we'll see, right? I mean, who's, you know, are you liking somebody this early? Have you seen a team that's jumped out and you know you've kind of went, oh, okay, they're better than I thought, or I think they're going to do okay.
Well, I definitely think the Giants were in it. Not that I would knock them out, but, you know, the last couple of years they've kind of struggled to really keep up with the Dodgers. You know, the Padres are where they should be with all the hype. But, you know, I think the White Sox owning the MLB Central is a little more of a surprise right now. Not that I'm discounting them whatsoever. It's just I didn't think it would be this early on.
Well, you know what I find really funny about the Giants, and maybe, you know, since they're kind of a team we started following once we started doing the podcast, maybe you can chime in with me here. Remember, they brought in Farhan Zahidi when they, you know, last season, and he was going to tear everything down, deal off the veterans, and rebuild this team.
And he didn't.
So, and, you know, now they're a contender. So, you know, what do you do? Does he add? Or does he, you know, can he get away with dealing off any of these guys? And, I mean, we are looking at, what, it's Posey, Belt, and Brandon Crawford, all in the last year of their deal. If they compete, can you afford to let them walk away unless you've got guys in the minors ready to step up? I mean, can you rebuild if they stay in the race all year?
No, I don't think you can. You know, I mean, not to compare, but, you know, the Yankees even knew they couldn't do it. So you can't deal them all off. I mean, I think not re-signing Posey would be a huge mistake for them. But, you know, you kind of wonder if one of the Brandons might be able to bring them back something. And I think if anything, you might try to move one of them if it can improve your team greatly.
Yeah, because you wonder, you know, how does the fan base react if you're competing and they decide to rip it down, tear it down, however you look at it, or, you know, even if they move a guy.
Yeah, and you know, it's so hard, you know, which Brandon would you possibly look at moving, you know?
You know, I think it depends the situation. You know, a lot of people think the Yankees need a shortstop. And, you know, Brandon Crawford is one of the best defensive shortstops in the game. You know, everybody thinks they're going to get Trevor Story, and maybe that's possible. But, you know, he would be a fantastic fit for that infield. You know, you could move Torres second, you know, where he seems a little more natural. It's kind of the Starlin Castro thing. He seems to be a better second baseman than shortstop. But, you know, I could, you know, then you get another left-handed bat in that lineup with the short porch. So, you know, Belt is a little more difficult fit because he's a first baseman, and, you know, unless there's a major injury. I know he can play some outfield, and in the American League he could DH. So that it's a tougher fit to find a spot for him. But, yeah, I think Crawford could look fantastic in Yankee pinstripes going down the stretch.
Yeah, and he might be the guy that you get the most value for because, you know, like you said with Brandon Belt, I think moving him would be, you know, not too bad of an idea because then with Joey Bart coming up and then Chadwick Trump, you know, Buster can take some time off from behind the plate and, you know, hold down the fort at first base some days, and they can kind of work that out. But is that even a great plan to go with? You know, it sounds like, you know, to me, even as I say it, Big Jack, that's definitely more of a fan kind of move, you know, because you're trying to keep Buster Posey in, which, you know, Buster Posey isn't that spring chicken anymore. He's 34 in this season. So you've got to wonder, you know, what is his value? And would a catcher like he bring something back? I think that would, I don't know, I think that would be the biggest gut punch to the fans, though, is if Buster was gone. You know, but then again, you know, not that I never saw Panda leaving, but he left, and, you know, he was able to come back and still got the same reception. So it'll be interesting. And I think for the Giants, though, if they plan on moving anybody, this is going to be late. I don't think they're going to jump out, you know, anytime soon. It's going to be close to that deadline where you have to think about, do we have a shot? You know, and you know, Jed Hoyer kind of came up with the fact that, or put out the statement when he received his new position, new role, about, you know, a championship team, and he considers making a playoff run regardless, you know, that the one game wild card and, you know, it's a playoff championship run. You know, I think the front office would have to be just really realistic as to what their expectations are. So, you know, if they're still sitting pretty at first, I don't know if you make any too crazy moves except for trying to grab somebody else, maybe moving a super, you know, a utility guy from the infield like a Dominic Solano if he comes back and plays well again. But, you know, if you're down there at third place with the potential to possibly grab that second wild card game, but you really don't feel that your team is going to win a World Series, you know, but it's hard to say because this is the team that went in as the wild card and won the World Series in 2014, you know, and knocked the champs out, you know, knocked Washington out, the best team in the league that season. So, you know, it's so hard to say, you know, do you play for right now and the possibility, or do you move some of the major players that can give you something, bring something back to your team, and you can, you know, possibly take it over again next year? So it's going to be one of those August, you know, late. I forget what the deadline is. Is it still August or the end of July? Either way, it's going to be last minute. And I don't, you know, with the situation right now, I think I could easily say I don't. I wouldn't want to trade places with him right now.
Yeah, no, I mean, you know, this puts him in a, you know, quite a spot, you know, especially if they can continue to hang around and, you know, compete. You know, if they start to slip a little, well, then it's, you know, if the, you know, or they're not looking like playoffs, it's a lot easier to make these moves. But, yeah, you know, with where they are now, it's okay, I'm going to have to continue to try to compete or see if we compete or however it works. And, you know, the interesting thing is they're kind of hanging around, and Mike Yastrzemski really hasn't gotten going yet. You know, he did hit two home runs in his last two games, so you got to wonder if maybe that's going to get him rolling. But yeah, you know, I'm sure they would love to probably move Evan Longoria, but with what's remaining contract, doubt that's going to happen. And don't forget, Dan, they're doing all this with Tommy La Stella injured. I don't believe he's played, and I think I saw they moved him to the 60-day DL today.
Oh wow!
So.
Well, and he seemed to have a nice bat for them for the time he was playing.
You know, I'm trying to remember. For some reason, I thought the Giants had a third base prospect that wasn't too far away from being major league ready. But I'm going through their minor leagues, and I can't seem to find them.
I don't remember. I just got my new Baseball America yesterday. I haven't looked at it yet. So.
Yeah, they do have a top 10 and their number 9th ranked prospect, but he's all the way down in Class A. He's playing for San Jose. So obviously he's a long way away. But, you know, unless they were, you know, maybe planning on La Stella something or fill that role of Gloria. But, you know, that's obviously going to be it. So. Again, you know, I don't know. It's just kind of, you know, myth. But, yeah, I mean, so far they've been – you got to say they've probably been the – them or the Red Sox have probably been the two biggest surprises so far, right?
Yeah. To me, the biggest surprises. I'm not surprised that Boston's doing well. just surprised that they've kind of taken off into, you know, owning the East right now. But, you know, again, like I think you said, or I said too, there was only a matter of a couple of games between them and the Yankees sitting at fourth. So they're not running away with it totally. But I still feel like they're also not a team that historically, you know, kind of takes off in the early months.
Yeah, you know, I'm trying to remember the moves they make. And actually, the one that's really paying off is that that Nick Pavetta has turned out to be really good for them. So, you know, I mean, I know they are dealing. I believe I saw that your guy Key went on the 10-day DL. So that, you know, that's going to be an issue they're going to have to overcome. But, you know, since they brought Michael Chavez up, Chavez, however we're pronouncing it today, he's been playing very well for them. So that may help the void there a little bit. You know, the problem is it takes away their leadoff hitter. But, yeah, I'm very surprised, you know, with the exception of your other guy, Garrett Richards, getting decent starting pitching. And I wasn't expecting that, especially with the obvious absence of Chris Sale. So it's been, you know, they've been hugely surprising. You know, and again, you wonder, can they keep it up or does that division catch up to them? You know, once, you know, it's just interleague play, you know, over and over, because that's a lot of games to deal with. You know, I think right now what they're facing Toronto starts tonight. It's actually, I'm having one of those situations in that game, Dan. It's Eduardo Rodriguez and Jin Ryu as the starters, and I have them both on the same fantasy team.
Oh, that's the worst.
So, you know, I guess I've got to hope for 7 shutout innings from each pitcher and then the bullpen decides it.
Mm-hmm.
So, because, yeah, I don't know what or how else to root for it. You know, and I was kind of curious when Kiki went down if we would see the Red Sox number one prospect is actually a middle infielder by the name of Jeter Downs. Who's at AAA. So I was wondering if maybe we would see him brought up to get some bats while Kiki's out. I guess that's something we'll have to keep an eye on. But, you know, to be fair, like I said, they do have Chavez, and Marwin Gonzalez is back and healthy. So, you know, they have guys to fill the void, and hopefully did they say what Kiki's injury was here? What did they have? No, they didn't have the injury listed, so I don't know what he's going to be out from, but hopefully for the Red Sox it won't be long. You know, or else that could be a real problem. So, and then, you know, I guess we are to this point, Dan. We've got about 7 minutes left rolling along here. Do you have any plans whatsoever to watch the NBA play-in games tonight?
No. I might check it out just to see how the Lakers aren't doing.
So yeah, because you know, I'm sure I'll ask you the same question tomorrow because that's when the Lakers play. So I'll probably do again, but I would like to see the final score of that game because I got to tell you, Dan, I'm rooting for the Warriors. I don't know about you.
Yeah, I'm totally on their bandwagon again right now. You know, and it's not even you know, an I hate LeBron thing. It's just, you know, he's, I don't know, man. He's been catapulted into this stratosphere. I know I'm talking crazy, right? In this world where, you know, he can do no wrong. And don't get me wrong, he does a lot of good. But sometimes he opens his mouth, and, you know, he's, at some point you got to eat it, you know. And I think this is one of those situations where he has to eat it. And I don't know, I just still feel like a player can make a huge difference on the team, but he's got to make the whole team better. And I'm sorry, I just don't feel like LeBron James goes out of his way or does anything that really makes the whole team better, as opposed to just getting himself to that, you know, next echelon to where he could be the guy that everyone's comparing all future generations to. You know, I mean, don't get me wrong, he's going to be compared against, but at the end of the day, you know, the Zion Williamsons in 2030, 2040, they're still going to come back and say, oh my God, this guy's like Jordan, you know. He's still going to be that one. And I think that's the one issue with him. I think he's, you know, and I could be completely wrong, but I think there's that chip on his shoulder that he's not regarded like Jordan or even Kobe.
Yeah, well, you know, and I mean, obviously the not is because he's lost as many championships as he won.
I thought he lost more.
He may have, to tell you the truth. So, you know, we'll have to see how it goes along. But, yeah, it's definitely interesting to see how he's going to be looked at, you know, as that career winds down. But tonight, I know, believe it or not, there actually is an NBA Eastern Conference. So we get who is it tonight? It's the Hornets and the Pacers. Your guy, Bradley Beal, and the Washington Wizards taking the Celtics. So you going to step in on your guy Beal at all, or are you just going to blow the poor guy off?
John Wall was the guy. Just kidding. We'll see.
Yeah, but John Wall's not in the playoffs. Bradley Beal is, or at least the play in.
You got to play to pay, right? Or pay to play? Whatever.
Yeah, you know. I guess that's I guess that's how it goes, right? So we'll see. Do you have any predictions on who may win these games tonight?
Can you, real quick, break it down? Who's the four teams?
It's the Pacers and the Hornets in, I think, the first game, and then the Celtics in game two.
I think Celtics and the Hornets.
Well, that's interesting. I know, yeah, a lot of people were late follow, so we'll see how it goes. All right, there you go. Dan and I are going to take off. I'll be back tomorrow at 4:30 to do this. The football is what I can do. We're on the sportsmedia.com. Click up on whatever you need to, and we'll write over those for you. But there's going to be a blog popping tomorrow morning. All you're doing is hit that link and follow it over to the sportsmedia Facebook page. That's going all the way up. I hope you're going to like. But don't forget, we have the Twitter feed. That's the sportsmedia. There you go. Hey, if you stop on and listen to this long, thank you very much for being here. Don't forget, you can go listen to the podcast anytime you want at tunein.com.